Coming up on the Health Unmasked podcast, how weight loss really works. End the confusion once and for all so that you can form a plan. Coming up. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Health Unmasked podcast. I'm your co-host, Carl Piltz, and with me is Dr. Eric Ginter, a.k.a. Dr. G, your co-host. How's it going, Eric?
Hey, man. How you doing, Carl?
Not too bad. So, let's see. Today, we are going to talk about how weight loss works. And weight loss, in general, is a topic because it's such in the forefront of so many people's minds. So, first, let's talk about what do you see in your clinic? I would think that you would have a decent amount of people coming into your clinic because they want to lose weight.
I mean, when people aren't feeling well and they come to see me, 70% of the time, they're trying to lose weight at the same time. Mm-hmm. So when people are gaining weight, it's causing problems in their body. It's causing pain. It's causing dysfunction. It's causing metabolic problems. There's a whole host of things that are caused by people that are overweight or even obese, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it's always something that we want to keep in mind when we're trying to help someone reverse the way they're feeling.
Right. And that's how, you know, as I went down this path, my first thing, like I was never severely overweight, but when I was traveling, you know, I used to work for Siemens, and when they had me traveling all over the country, you know, you start eating garbage out of the nearest gas station because you're under a time crunch and all that stuff. And at one point I got up to like 227 pounds, which is by far my heaviest. So, but that was like, after I was already into this stuff, it's just my job took me into a horrible direction. So, but I really wanted to know the effects of, I got really interested because I realized that I would get hypoglycemic very easily. So my blood sugar would get very low really easily. And I started to tie together that the foods that I was eating was affecting how I felt and my energy levels and, you know, feelings of anxiety and, you know, feelings of depression and stuff like that. So that's what got me into this. But what I realized when I started digging into this is that the same concepts that are affecting how I feel, they also are the same concepts that lead to weight gain and then learning how to lose weight. So sure. I can't, you know, some people just focus on their body first. I think that what people should really focus on is how these foods affect how they feel, because that will change instantly. If you start eating food that's good for you, it's going to affect how you feel, and we'll talk about how that happens. But when you start feeling a lot better, then you have the energy to start doing more things that are good for you, and then the weight is going to naturally fall off. So that's what I try to get into people's heads, is focus on how you feel first, and the weight's going to come along with it.
Yeah, and it's so difficult because of all, at least in the U.S., all the foods that you see when you walk into the grocery store are all the foods that you probably shouldn't be eating, you know?
Mm-hmm. Even if you go to Whole Foods or something like that.
Anything in a box or a bag, I mean, look at the ingredients. There's how many countless ingredients that are not good for your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, you know, the old adage is that you should shop on the outer aisles and, the perimeter of the grocery store and stay out of the aisles. Which is true, exactly. Except, you know, we get beans and stuff like that and, you know, canned tomato products and things like that. But if it's any type of carb in a box or basically any other stuff than just like canned vegetables, maybe, then even those, you got to look for additives and stuff like that. But don't stay out of those inner aisles. You'll be much healthier if you do that.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you think about it, it's very simple. You have a protein, you have a veggie, and you have a fruit.
Yeah.
If you keep it to that and you make it very simple, you can get results if you're trying to lose weight.
Yeah. It's not really that much more difficult than that. And, you know, people don't have to. People will get frustrated at the, you know, at the possible cost of eating better. And they're like, oh, I have to go organic. It would be great if everybody could go organic, but everybody can't do that for financial reasons or whatever. Or just what grocery stores are available in your area. I mean, there aren't organic grocery stores in every area. So what I tell people is that eating a conventional steak or eating conventional bacon or something like that is way healthier for you than eating a box of donuts.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like, you buy a bag of Doritos and that thing's like $6 or $7, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You actually will notice that you're saving money by eating healthier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Vegetables, luckily, are cheap. Even if you get the organic ones, vegetables are cheap. Yeah. Yeah. And if you just learn that you don't have to make them taste like absolute crap, you know, you can use things like salt and you can use things like butter and creams and things like that to make things taste, you know, tastes good and also satiating at the same time, then it's not near as big of a deal to get especially your family members, whether it's your husband or your kids or whatever, it's not near as big of a deal to get them to eat that food, as opposed to when people are trying to go healthy and they basically eat dry salads because they think fat's bad for you and salt's bad for you and everything tastes like a twig.
Yeah, that's right.
So
what did you find when you started looking?
What's that?
What did you find when you started looking?
So here's what I put together on how weight loss works in general. And it starts with, you got to figure out what causes weight gain first. And the biggest thing, I think, far and wide that causes people to lose weight is this concept of blood sugar and how we're sabotaging our blood sugar levels and things like that. So everybody gets a picture of what's going on in your body. When you eat carbs, that what happens in your body is you put it in your mouth and you swallow it and your body starts digesting it and your body starts extracting the carbs out of those foods and it sends those carbs into your blood. And now those carbs are known as blood sugar when they get into your blood. And your body likes to maintain your blood sugar range in a certain range, not too high and not too low. And if you stay within that range, then you eat a meal, preferably that has like a lot of, if you're eating carbs, carbs that have a lot of fiber in them, like 100% whole wheat bread, whole wheat pasta, things like that, brown rice, along with vegetables, because you're chewing everything together, so it all mixes. But you have a lot of fiber that you're taking in with your carbs, and so those carbs digest very, very slow, and it's like an IV drip of carbs into your bloodstream. So what's supposed to happen is you eat carbs like that, the carbs go into your bloodstream slowly, and so your blood sugar raises, but still within a healthy range. And then as your blood sugar raises, your body raises your insulin level because insulin's job is to take that sugar out of your blood and basically unlock all of your cells, like your muscle cells and whatnot, and so that those carbs can get into all of your cells so they can be used for energy and whatever else your body needs to use that energy for. So you're supposed to eat these slow digesting carbs. So your blood sugar goes up a little bit. Your body releases a little bit of insulin because that's all that's needed to unlock your cells, to get all these carbs into your cells, and then everything is happy. Your blood sugar goes back down slowly over time, and if you're doing this correctly, you're only hungry like 2, maybe 3 times a day. If you're doing this and you're doing this in a blood sugar friendly method, okay? And if you do that, then you shouldn't gain any weight. You should be perfectly fine. But here's where we screw it all up. So we go into those inner aisles of the grocery store and we see all this good looking food, and a lot of it is fiberless carbohydrates. So white bread, white rice, donuts, crackers, pretzels, all this stuff is all carbohydrates with pretty much zero fiber. And what's worse is we package this with like soda, which is pure sugar. And even like orange juice and stuff like that, there's no fiber in all this stuff. So the carbohydrates digest really, really quickly. So we gobble this food up and we eat a big bowl of white pasta. And, this stuff goes into our stomach and digests. And now all that sugar, because there's no fiber, it digests super quick. And it all dumps into our bloodstream at once. So now your blood sugar spikes way higher than that healthy range that it wants to keep your blood sugar in. Now, in order to compensate for that, your body will unleash a huge amount of insulin to get that sugar out of your bloodstream and into your cells. But the problem is your cells can only absorb carbs at a certain rate. So the overflow gets stored as fat. So picture if you take a 5-gallon bucket of water and you put a lid on that 5-gallon bucket of water. The bucket's empty. You put a lid on it and you drill a hole in the top of that lid that's like an inch diameter hole. Then you have another 5-gallon bucket that's full of water. And you're trying to get all the water from the bucket that you're holding into the bucket with the lid. If you were to take that bucket, what's the best way of getting all that water into that bucket? The best way is to pick it up and slowly pour it in through that hole so that it all gets into the other bucket, right? So it all goes through that 1-inch hole. But you got to do it slowly. That's how eating, fiber full carbohydrates works. It's like pouring slowly into that one inch hole so that all the water in the one bucket is transferred to the bucket with the lid. But when you eat donuts or you drink soda or you're eating white carbs and stuff like that, what you're basically doing is taking your one bucket and turning it over completely all at once and dumping that water all over this bucket. Now, some water is going to get into that bucket, but the vast majority of it is going to overflow and be all over the floor. So you picture all that water that's now all over the floor. That is the amount of carbs that you just ate that's going to fat storage. And only a little bit is getting actually into your cells. So we're doing this 3 to 5 times a day because if you do this, what you find is that your blood sugar not only gets taken out by insulin, but too much gets taken out by insulin. We'll talk about that. But you get blood sugar crashes, and that causes you to want to eat more often. So 3 to 5 times a day, as people are snacking, if they're snacking on cookies and these fiberless carbohydrates, their blood sugar is spiking. Insulin's coming out like crazy to try to dump all that, to get all that sugar out of your blood and get it into your cells. And the overflow that is over that which the cells can absorb is stored as fat, and you're doing it 3 to 5 times a day. That's how you gain weight. That's how the vast majority of people out there are gaining weight so quickly. Now, it's complicated by all the other stuff that we're doing, but if people can nail down that they stop doing this one process, then they're going to be going a long way to starting to lose that weight. Okay? Did I say anything confusing, Eric?
I don't think so. I think you're on point with that. What I see when people kind of get down the road a little bit more with their health deterioration, a lot of times when they develop that insulin resistance, which arguably can be the cause of all chronic conditions, because once you have insulin resistance, you're also, excuse me, resisting nutrition entering the cells, you're resisting the hormones entering the cells properly. And it's actually a protection mechanism, but at the root of it is going to be the increased toxicity in the cells and the increased infection rate, which is causing that inflammation, which is leading to that insulin resistance. So I'm getting a little bit off topic on that, but that's kind of the progression of once this starts and where it goes.
Yeah, and glad you were talking about that because as we go down this road, not only is it a weight loss problem, but this starts stemming all over your life, all over your health, because like we all know that diabetes, once you get diabetes, a whole host of diseases comes right after it. And it's all related because when you're eating not only these high sugar and high carbohydrate foods, but they're also processed and loaded with chemicals, and then you start getting into real problems. But what you were talking about, insulin resistance, so let's say somebody, going back to that picture that I was painting, when people are eating these foods that spike your blood sugar, and so insulin has to be spiked in order to get that sugar out of your blood, if you're doing this all the time, at some point, insulin isn't going to be able to do its job. Your body's going to have to release more and more insulin to be able to, get rid of the same amount of carbs out of your blood. But at some point, insulin stops being able to unlock your cells to allow those carbs into it. And that's what you were talking about is insulin resistance.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that too is the blood sugar spikes up and down are actually more dangerous than someone that has consistently high blood sugar. That's what the data shows. So it's very important to maintain a healthy level blood sugar and not go up and down with these spikes, because and then it promotes things like heart attacks and strokes, and that is something that you really want to avoid.
Yeah, definitely. That like I really think that everybody was focused on saturated fat causing heart disease, but the real issue is chronically high blood sugar, which translates to chronically high triglycerides, which basically takes all your LDL and HDL particles, and instead of being big, fluffy, like cotton ball like substances, they turn small and dense, and they start ricocheting off your vein walls and causing damage.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because homocysteine it's something that you have to monitor as well, because when homocysteine rises from either a gut problem or lack of processing B vitamins properly, homocysteine is going to be vasospasmodic and vasoconstrictive. So if you have sugar issues and your homocysteine is high, you are at risk of heart attack and stroke.
I've never heard that part before. That's interesting.
Yep. So homocysteine is one of the things that I run routinely with people, because we have to understand what the status is right now.
Interesting. And it gets me, diabetes is what come is one of the first diseases that come when you're in this loop for too long. And diabetes is basically, your body's inability to handle all these carbs and stuff like that. And I remember when years ago when Paula Deen came out and said that she was diabetic. So she went on, I forget if it was Maury Povich or one of those talk shows, and she said, "Yeah, I'm diabetic, but it's no problem because I got this fancy new pill that I can take." And she was saying basically it was fine. I just take my pill and I can go and eat whatever I want. And it's like amazing how the pharmaceutical companies control media and stuff like that. And these are the this is the stuff that they put out when they don't tell people that if insulin can't do its job, then your cells are not getting the fuel that they need to live. And so if you go and search for things like diabetes foot rot, if you want to scare yourself, go to Google and search for diabetes foot rot. The extremities, your hands and your feet, those cells cannot. They're not getting the fuel that they need to live, so they start dying and they start turning black. And that's the
Yep,
picture
that's
that they
right.
don't want you to see.
That's an extremely important point, and that is that people think that once they get diagnosed with diabetes, they can take their metformin or they can take whatever they want or whatever they're prescribed to tackle the problem. But the problem is not from a lack of insulin, right? So the metformin is going to work for a short period of time, but when that stops working, then they're going to start injecting themselves with insulin. And they're continuing to force this glucose into cells that can't accept it and don't want to accept it because the cells are programmed for longevity. What people have to realize is that 99% of the time, this is not a pancreas problem or an insulin production problem. It is a cellular defense problem. And that's why it's your body is insulin resistant, is because it can't take that glucose in to produce energy because of problems, metabolic problems inside the cells. So, yeah, in the short term, the metformin and those things are going to work, but in the long term, they're going to fail as you're going down this road to more chronic conditions.
Yeah, diabetes is not a lack of insulin, just like cancer is not a lack of chemotherapy, and any other
Right.
conditions are not a lack of some other chemical that they're trying to sell you to try to mask symptoms instead of fixing the problem.
Right.
Oh, it's so bizarre how our system is set up. But
Well,
yeah, so if people learn this one concept, that I think is the first concept that says, okay, I need to look at how many carbs. Like I used to tell people, if you're looking on a box or a package of something like rice or bread or anything like that, and you say, okay, I can't eat fast digesting carbohydrates. I gotta cut out soda and orange juice and stuff like that. Basically, we should be drinking water and milk. That if you can tolerate, if you have no problems with dairy, but water and milk, and that's really about it. Get rid of as much caffeine as you can, but I know that's a bit of a process for people. But if they're saying, okay, I'm gonna get rid of those, the drinks, and now I'm looking for slow digesting carbohydrates. Like, what is a slow digesting carbohydrate? And I said, okay, so look at the package. And a general rule of thumb I used to tell people is to look for carbs that have 3 grams of fiber per every 20 grams of total carbohydrates. If it has 3 per 20, then you're looking at a carb that's gonna digest really slow enough to not cause those blood sugar spikes. There's enough fiber in it to keep it digesting slowly and to keep you full longer. So that was the rule I used to tell people. So
yeah,
it
one of the things I found that has been super helpful for people too is to determine what type of food sensitivities they have. What is your immune system responding to that would be otherwise considered normally healthy food? When I ran a food sensitivity test on myself, I was sensitive to chicken, I was sensitive to broccoli, I was sensitive to watermelon, I was sensitive to mushrooms. All these things that people would consider normally healthy, my body was producing an immune response to that, and that was actually causing inflammation in my body, which would slow down the weight loss process. So, if you were to learn which foods that are normally considered healthy are causing an immune response in your body, you could practically do any diet program that you want to and have success. I'm not going to say that's 100% of the time what's going to happen, but if you follow a lot of these diets that are shown to be effective for you or for other people. If you take out the foods that are causing inflammation in your body from that food sensitivity test, you'll often do much better during that program.
Yeah, right. So, okay, so if we try to make a roadmap for everybody that's listening, they're saying, okay, I'm not eating good right now. I know that, and I want to start taking steps to do that. But I know that there are people that are doing these diets and they have food sensitivity issues and things like that and all that stuff. It's like, where do I start? It's like, okay, we'll get your input on this in a second. What I would tell people is start with, finding slow digesting carbohydrates and make sure that you construct your meal with some type of meat, some type of protein, and then add in vegetables, And you can dress those vegetables up with butter and salt or cream or however you want to do that. I have lots of recipes on my website. I have a bunch of recipe packs showing people how to do that. But start by doing that. A meat, a veg, and if you're going to do a carb like rice or bread, make it a high fiber carbohydrate. And you start eating there. Then, if you start seeing things like, one, you're not losing weight. You say you do it for a month, and one, you're not losing weight. Or two, you start getting like digestive issues or something like that. Or you start seeing some stuff on your skin or something like that. And or you have issues like that and they don't go away. So Eric, that's where, you know, that. What do you think about that? What are some of the signs that they should look for that if they're following a diet that they may have some sensitivity issues that they should start investigating?
One of the things that happens almost all the time with people with food sensitivity issues is their heart rate's going to increase after they eat something that they're sensitive to. So that can be a good indicator of you having some type of food sensitivity. If you eat something and then 15 minutes later, you feel like your heart rate is increased, you're most likely sensitive to something that you ate. So that's a good place to start. So that's kind of one of the ways that we monitor people after they have a food sensitivity test. Like if you're getting a high heart rate after eating, that is an indication that maybe it's something to take a look at to see if you have some food sensitivities and, you know, take a blood test. It's actually a little finger stick. It's very easy. You can do it from your home. But so food sensitivity, I think, is a kind of a hidden weapon when you're trying to lose weight. But otherwise, like, come out of the gates, get some results, you know, say like we're talking about, get some protein, get some veggies, get some fruits, be consistent with that for a little while and start seeing some weight come off. And then when you start seeing some weight come off, that's very motivating to look a little deeper into some different things that you might, you know, pursue to continue this type of process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're seeing stuff like that, I don't know that I would stop the diet that you're doing. I just think that there's something else that you should look at. Like, you shouldn't go back to eating donuts.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, some people, like, if you eat, you know, some protein, some veggies and some fruits, at some point they may be like, yeah, I'm kind of tired of this. Maybe I'll look at a little bit more like going to ketogenic, or I'll go a little bit to carnivore, or I'll go something that will suit them a little bit more. Come out of the gates, get some results, and then you can start looking at different types of ways of eating. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Along the healthy lines.
Yeah. A lot of people, I mean, you know, we're talking about doing low fiber carbohydrates. My family, we also go ketogenic every couple of months or something like that. We kind of float around we bounce between ketogenic diets and paleo diets and, you know, slow digesting carbohydrate diets and things like that. And if you go into ketosis, then your body isn't using any carbohydrates at all. Your body switches, exactly. You know, you go into ketosis, which is the process of your body switching over from using carbs as its primary fuel, you know, blood sugar as its primary fuel, to start breaking down fats. And ketosis is your body will start breaking down your body fat to use for fuel. And when you get into this phase known as ketosis, it's actually very easy for your body to do that. Now, if you've never done it, the first 7 to 10 days can be not fun, because that transition process, you know, you're basically starving your body of carbs. So your blood sugar gets really low and you start getting really, you know, really tired and stuff like that. And it can be not fun, but highly worth it, because once you get on the other side of ketosis, then it can be, you know, very easy to lose weight. I mean, there were times where I forgot for 24 hours to eat simply because I wasn't hungry. So there's all kinds of things that you can do once you get into, you know, these diets and you start feeling better and you start seeing, you know, weight come off and energy and all that stuff. And but then you can experiment and see what else is out there. But the first step, I think, you got to get these horrible carbohydrates out of your life. The sodas and the white carbs and all that stuff. And which takes into account most packaged foods that you're going to find in the middle of the aisles, which if you get rid of those, you're probably getting rid of a ton of chemicals and poisons too.
Exactly. And don't starve yourself either, you know, because you're getting rid of those and eating healthier foods. Don't starve yourself in the beginning. Eat the healthy foods until you're satiated. And then once you start seeing some results, then you can bring the amount of food that you're eating down, because your body's going to start burning fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think if people start being okay, you know, getting over the idea that eating saturated fat causes heart disease, when you eat fat, I think we'll do a whole podcast on this, talking about how your appetite works and things like that. But when you eat fat, there are things in the fatty acids that trigger a direct rise in leptin, and leptin is the hormone that makes you feel full. So eating fat, that's why eating fat makes us feel full. So add the things like butter and cream and things like that, and olive oils. If you do a salad dressing, load it up. So, you know, we're getting to time here, but I think that's a good place for people to start and start seeing results. What do you think?
Absolutely. And if they have questions, they can go to my website and then go to your website. There's plenty of information on both of those places. And those are listed on our podcast website. Is that right?
Yeah, so if people go to healthunmasked.co, they'll find links to both of our websites. Yours is modernhealthinstitute.com. Mine is truthandjalapenos.com. I just got truthandj.com because a lot of people can't spell jalapenos. So, but they can go to any of those websites or just go to the podcast website and find us all because we have free guides. We have all kinds of things to help people achieve what they want to achieve. So,
Perfect.
yeah, I hope everybody felt this was helpful and it was good talking to you again, man.
You too, buddy.
All
Have a
right,
great
take it
day.
easy. Okay, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening. We hope you enjoyed that. So just a few new things that we have going on our websites. If you go to Dr. G's website, which is modernhealthinstitute.com, he has a new free guide talking about the MVX Plus test. He's talked about that before, but this new blood test is a test that is revolutionary in that it catches problems long before they become bigger problems. So that's one of his favorite tests to run these days. He has a free guide that talks all about it. So you can get early warning on any health issues that are coming your way. And he has a free guide talking all about it. He also just released his 21-day pain and inflammation reboot program. So if you have joint pains or pains of any type and you want to calm that down, this is a great program for you. So that's over at modernhealthinstitute.com. Also, if you have a health condition, whether it's a chronic health condition or whatever, that you really want to get to the bottom of, give Eric a call. Go to modernhealthinstitute.com and schedule an appointment. He can do a Zoom consultation wherever you are in the world, and he can order up some tests for you so that you guys can start figuring out what the root cause is and start forming a plan to fix it. Eric's awesome. Give him a call. And over on my website, I have a new free guide, How to Fuel Your Kids to Excel in Sports. There's a lot of bad information out there that's been around forever, telling your kids to eat all kinds of white rice and garbage to fuel themselves for a sports game. And it's complete nonsense. So I made a free guide on how to feed your kids so that they excel in whatever sport they're in. It's a lot easier than you think. And I also just released two new programs. One is 21 Days to Calm, Happy, and Agreeable Kids. So if you're fighting a lot with your kids or teenagers, this is a great program for you. And I also just released the 21 Day Sleep Reset. So if you have problems getting great sleep, it's not that difficult to fix. So if you're tired of sleepless nights and waking up exhausted, this might be a great program for you because setting yourself up for great sleep is not as difficult as you think. So that's at truthandjalapenos.com, or you can go to truthandj.com because jalapenos is a difficult to spell word, but it's all right there. Okay, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next time.